It is great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City Church of Christ. Very exciting day. It's a day that we are worshiping our Lord, and that is always exciting. It's also a day that we will, after our services, we will be honoring our graduates. We'll have a meal together, and we'll be just celebrating their time, whether they are graduating kindergarten, whether they are graduating college, or if you're graduating high school. We're very excited about their new endeavors in life. And so we wish them nothing but the best. And also, today is an exciting day because we've got some exciting news. We are excited. There are those who are watching on our live stream, not able to be with us here, and you might notice there's a few missing right over here. Some are over there getting set up for Family Day and listening over there as well. But Scott and Michelle Giroux, and I know they're watching, and we want to congratulate you guys because Daniel and Megan had their baby. And so I am excited about that. She's a beautiful little girl, and I'm going to make sure I get it all right, so I'm going to read it. It's Cora Margaret Giroux. And she was born on May 17th, weighing 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and 20 and a half inches long. And so we want to congratulate Scott and Michelle on that good news, and also Daniel and Megan, Ashton and Kelly as well. So we don't want to leave them out, but very exciting news. But also today is an exciting day because with us for the very first time is Amelia McHugh. Amelia is Clay and Hannah's little girl, and it's amazing to me to see all these babies, and especially to know that their mamas and daddies love them enough to have them here. And Clay and Hannah and so many of the Cagle family are very excited, McHugh family. So, Clay, if you'll bring her up, buddy. Look at there. That's a proud dad. Look at there. I know. So congratulations to Hannah and Clay. And yeah, here's Uncle T right here. You're still smiling no matter how long I preach, baby. I know. Hang on. Let me make sure my arm's out. You good? Wow, isn't that special? Special moments. And so congratulations to you guys and introducing her to her church family. Today, we're going to, with our theme of Renew, talk about changing our identity. You know, superheroes are a little bit frustrating to me. I mentioned some of that Wednesday night, and I won't give any spoilers away, like maybe some were concerned about Wednesday night on superhero movies. But, you know, I always like Superman, as you can tell and behind me. But along the way, it always bothered me, and I get it, you know, that he had a secret identity, but if I were Superman, I wouldn't worry about the Clark Kent, would you? I believe I would just walk around as Superman all the time. Why? Because you're Superman, right? Well, it's kind of the same way as Christians, and so we played the part with the cross on the chest in this scene, but here's what I'm concerned about. We're far greater than Superman. We've contacted something far greater than fake superhero powers. We've contacted the blood of Jesus Christ. And it changed our identity. But I'm concerned that sometimes we walk around in disguise. We don't walk around as we truly are. We blend in with the world. We blend in with those around us. And we're like, oh no, I don't want them to know that I am this and I am that. And I see it in teenagers a lot. I see it. And in fact, I talked in chapel at Mobile Christian this past week and talked to them on this very subject and shared with them some things I shared Wednesday night with you all. But what's scary about it is some of those teenagers, and I'm not talking about our teenagers here, but if the shoe fits, we'll wear it, right? But some teenagers, some college students, some adults that have gone on and had a career and married and everything else, we will do things sometimes that takes us out of who we are just to fit in. You know, I know we've got several, and I'm so thankful for my son and his group of friends that they all go to school together and they're church friends together and friends outside of all of it together. But in the sixth grade this year, we parents have heard some of this, that kids that I have watched grow up, you know, they start understanding what bad words are and curse words, and some of them are now cursing and having bad mouths and all, and so I called them out when I was in there in chapel. But what they're doing that for is because they think that helps them fit in. It helps them be somebody that they're not. Well, you know what I say to that is, folks, we need to grow out of that. And it may not be curse words with us. It may be laughing at jokes, or it may be this and that. And I'm not saying that we just walk around as robots and sticks in the mud. We've got to be able to build bridges to one another, but we've got to let people know through the way we live that we belong to Jesus. And so I'm concerned about our identity. And so as we think about the theme renew, you know what this gives us an opportunity to do today? It gives us an opportunity to renew who we are and to change who we are. Besides Justin Barnes, anybody know what that is? Anybody know? I mean, you might say, well, yeah, it looks like a family tree. Well, Justin and I will tell you there is a difference between a family tree. This is called a genogram. And you probably do not, and I just wondered if anybody in here knew what it was. I wouldn't have known what it was until Justin and I had to take classes and turn in genograms. But what a genogram is it is like a family history, but it talks about medical history. I know you can't hardly see that. That's probably good. That's all our family history, Cagle family. So, you know, we'll try to hide some of that now. But it talks about heart conditions or diabetes or deaths and, you know, even divorces and different things like that. And you do it as a counselor to try to figure out maybe why somebody's struggling with this or struggling with that. Here's one. This is Darth Vader's, if you ever want to look at it. You see these red lines, that's conflict, okay? But anyhow, the point of it is, when I did our genogram, and Justin and I had to do it for a class, and we had to write maybe a, 10, 12-page paper on it, what we found out about ourselves. And when you dig in it, you really do find out a little more of maybe why this and maybe why that, and you try to identify who you are. Do you know what's selling like hotcakes now are these kits, right, that you can take your saliva and you can send it off and you can figure out exactly where you came from. People are interested in that. They want to know their history. They want to know their identity. Well, here's what I want you to remember today as Christians is that we were grafted into the greatest family of all. And that's the family of God. Today is a day that we congratulate our graduates. Hey, we are proud of you. Whether you're elementary K-5 graduate, whether you're a college graduate, whether you're a high school graduate, let me tell you, you're all at a crossroads. K-5 is now moving into official grade school, if you will. College is going on with their careers, and some are maybe even hoping to find jobs in their career. High school is going into a whole new realm. Some may go into the workforce. Some may go into college, and there's so many transitions. And you know what these students are all going to strive to do along the way is find out who they are. They're still trying to find their identity. But you know, even us as adults today, we're still trying to find our identity. And so what it leads to sometimes is an identity crisis. Who am I? Who are you? You see, I love when Jesus asked the disciples in Matthew 16. You remember that? When he said, who are people saying I am? By the way, Jesus knew exactly who he was. But he said, who are people saying I am? And you remember they said, hey, some are saying you're John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the other prophets. But Jesus said, that's okay. He said, but who do you, my 12, say that I am? You see, he was doing that for a purpose. He wanted them to understand who he was, and he wanted them to understand that they had a purpose and their identity was changing. He is molding them into the salt of the earth and the light of the world so that they can take his kingdom, the church of our Lord that we are part of 2,000 years later, and they could take the message to the world. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And folks, he couldn't have hit it more on the nail more on the head than he did. You might be saying today, "Who is Jesus?" Well, I want you to know who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Savior, the Messiah, God in the flesh. And he came to save us from the identity of ourselves. You see, when we talk about Jesus, we talk about him going around doing good. What is known about you today? What do people know about you? What do people know about me? Make it personal, right? What do people say about me? If I were to leave this earth today, what would people say? Folks, I'm here to tell you that I really only care about two things in my life. I hope they say he was a faithful Christian and he went about doing good. I'm not going to make lots of money. I'm not going to leave a huge mark and change laws and do all these things. I'm just going to, and I hope you have this impression as well, I'm here to glorify God and lead souls to Him. That's our mission. That's who we are. Now, even I can forget that sometimes, and I'm sitting here telling you that, okay? As much as I'm in the book and I'm talking and I'm preaching, I don't preach sermons that I don't need to hear. And sometimes, and I'm going to tell you some of my weaknesses today, sometimes I have identity crisis. And I forget what I'm here to do. And maybe, chances are, you are as well. So the question has to be then, why can't we find fulfillment in ourselves? Have you thought about that? Have you ever found fulfillment just in your accomplishments? Now, again, I'm not saying we're not proud of some of the things we are. But in the end, we will not find fulfillment in ourselves. You know why? Because we weren't created to find fulfillment in ourselves. We were created by the Creator to reflect the glory of God. And since the main goal in seeking an identity outside of Christ is to bring glory to ourselves, we will never find lasting fulfillment apart from Jesus Christ. What happens when your identity is not found in Christ? You know who a good person to ask that is? Solomon. Remember how Solomon started? He started well, didn't he? Solomon started out real well. Hey, he was David's son. David said, "I want you to remember who you are on his deathbed. Do not go from the right to the left. You stay in God's laws and his commands, all his statutes and everything else." That started out well. Solomon, what do you want? You have any wish, if you will, any prayer granted that I can give you? He said, "I want wisdom." And so he gave him wisdom. Wisdom beyond compare. Then he also gave him riches. He gave him fame on top of it all, power. Well, Solomon along the way forgot who he was. Solomon allowed others to influence who he was. He got into women, and those women who served foreign gods became part of his life as well. Those gods did. And because of that, he forgot who he was. And so when it came time, and I'm thankful God gave us Solomon, aren't you? That we have him to be able to associate today. Solomon started out well, and then along the way he drifted. But when God used the Holy Spirit to allow him to write a biography of his life in the book of Ecclesiastes, he gave us a glimpse into what he was struggling with. Where do we find our identity? What happens when our identity is outside of God or Jesus Christ in our case? Here's what happens. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 8. "This is the case of a man who is all alone." Sound like a guy who's got it figured out? "Without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can." That was Solomon, right? But then he asked himself, "Who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing." He goes on to say earlier in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 8, all things are wearisome, more than one can describe. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear content with hearing. Solomon was facing an identity crisis. I love to tell you that the end of that letter, the end of that book, what did he say? He said, I found the solution. You want to know what man's whole duty is? Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. He understood who he was. John told us about this in 1 John 2 verse 16. This is about our identity outside of Christ. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And then Romans 6 verse 21, Paul said, therefore, what benefit were you when deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. What happens when we seek our identity outside of Jesus Christ? Death. Emptiness. Misery. Struggle. You see, because in Christ, everything changes. In Christ, everything changes. Instead of being lost, we are found. Instead of being seen as a sinner before God, you are seen as a saint. Instead of being an enemy to God, we become a friend. We are loved, we are redeemed, we have been made new, we are forgiven, and we are a treasure to Him. You see, these aren't my words. They're God's. I'm not making it sound just all special today. This is exactly what God told us. When we surrender our lives to Him, when we are immersed into Jesus Christ, it changes our identity. And instead of hiding it, we need to expose the Christianity that He's now given us. Listen to this. Being known by God should cause us to constantly look to the One who knows us far better than we know ourselves. That's not my words. I just thought it was a good quote. Being known by God should cause us to constantly look to the One who knows us far better than ourselves. Mamas, how well do you know your children? You know them very well. You know, we had a pediatrician one time who's retired that he would know, and he'd hear the chest and he'd hear the lungs and he'd look in the throat and the ears and everything else, and he'd be able to diagnose, but he'd say, Mama, what do you think? You know why he did that? Because mamas know their babies. They know them. They know them. God knows us far better than anyone. Far better than mama. Far better than daddy. Far better than ourselves. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3, but whoever loves God is known by God. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, that he said to Jeremiah. Ephesians 1 verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. John 15, 16, you did not choose me. Jesus Christ said this now. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Exodus 33, 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, again, it's talking about what happens when God knows us and we know Him. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Two more. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Boy, what a powerful verse. And then finally, our scripture reading that came from our buddy Harrison this morning, who did a great job. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So there is no comparison, right? Outside of Christ, we are most miserable. We are unfulfilled. We are hurting. We are sick. We are hell-bound. Inside of Christ, we have favor in God's sight. He loves us. He adopted us. He formed us. He wrote our lives for us. And in the end, we'll live with Him. So the question is today then, what happens when I go from outside of Christ, identifying outside of Christ, to inside of Him? What else changes? Well, here they are. Number one, when I belong to Jesus and you belong to Jesus, we deny self and glorify God. Found in 1 John 2 again, verses 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see, if we are not seeking to find our identity in Christ alone, then guess what? We're seeking it in something else. What are you trying to be fulfilled in today? What are we trying to find? Our jobs? Hey, there are certain times in life that our jobs are fulfilling. But you know what? Let me stop and talk to you about me for a minute. You know, I am blessed beyond measure. I have a great relationship with our elders. I mean, they are my friends. They're not just my bosses, if you will. They're my friends. And some of them, you know, I mean, I've known my whole life. At least a huge part of it, some of them as well. You know, I am so blessed that they trust me so much, and I'm not trying to say they're falling asleep on their job, and this may shock you, I hope it doesn't. But you know, I don't have a written job description. I don't. So along the way, I've been trained, been here 20 years now. Been trained, you know, I think I know what to do. But there isn't a book that says, hey, this is what Church of Christ preachers are supposed to do. And it lists it out. That's just not it. We talked about second mile servanthood. You know, there are first mile things that we do that we're obligated to do, right? I know I'm going to preach every Sunday. I know it. I mean, occasionally there's a time off or something like that. But that's in my first mile. But then there's second mile things that we as Christians all have to do, right? So let me say this. Sometimes I get wrapped up in trying to struggle with, is this my, am I doing this because it's my job, or am I doing it because I want these people to not be mad at me? And I don't want that to sound bad, but I'm just telling you, sometimes, even in my job, I find fulfillment, but then because I try to set it to please people, I find disappointment. Somebody asked me one time, or they made the comment, hey, your elder's the boss. They're the boss, and I get that. And they are. They signed my checks, and they could say, hey, see you later, alligator. But if I live my life trying to please these five men, I'm going to come up empty. When I lay my head on my pillow, and this isn't me, this is you too, you don't need to be pleasing the CEO. Yeah, that's important, I get it. But when I lay my head on my pillow, I better have pleased God. Because that's what it's about. Because you know what? I am going to disappoint you because I'm a human being. You're going to disappoint me because we can't fulfill one another the way God can. And so when I seek my fulfillment in my job, you seek your fulfillment in your job. We seek it in hobbies. We seek it in other things outside of God. We will be empty. However, when we deny ourselves and seek to glorify God, our identity is now in the eternal things of Christ. We will not be crushed by our failures and weaknesses. I have cried many a tears because I have hurt people's feelings. Not purposely. I want you to know I don't have a bone in my body or a cell in my body that really wants to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't. Now, I've cut up with some people before. You know, and we've joked and stuff, but I never set out to hurt somebody's feelings. But along the way, that happens. And because they've been crushed, I've been crushed, and I have cried tears, and I have lost sleep, and it has been such a struggle. But in that moment, you know what I've temporarily forgotten? That my identity is to please God. I failed. I've been weak, and I've been crushed by it. But when we remember our identity is to glorify God, we don't fall into pride from worldly success. We don't fall into despair over disappointments, nor do we get crushed by tragedy. We won't get lost seeking the attractive things of life, but the things that really leave us empty in the world. Because Christ gives us a stable and an eternal hope in a world of an unstable hopelessness. What else happens when I belong to Jesus and I give Him my life and my identity? Number two, we then no longer will fear the future. Think about that. That's a big one, right? Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the slavery, note this, to fall back into fear. He called us out of fear. He said, you didn't receive the slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. If we have peace with God, then we have nothing to fear on this earth. Alright, I don't do this a lot, but I did not hear, but maybe I heard one little quiet, maybe that's right. I'm going to say that again, and if you want to say amen, you can. If we have peace with God, then we have nothing to fear on this earth. Then why are we living in fear? I mean, I agree, right? You agree. If we have peace with God, we have nothing to fear. But we live our lives in fear. Then maybe we can look at the other side of that coin and say, maybe I truly don't have peace with God. Or maybe I've gotten wrapped up in the false identity. Our eternities are secure as adopted sons and daughters of Christ. So we don't need to fear financial collapse. We don't need to fear losing our job. We don't need to fear getting sick or being ridiculed for our faith. Now listen to me. Every one of those over the course of time cause pain and uneasiness. If our finances collapse, if our economy collapsed, if we lost our jobs, if we got sick or tragedy hit our family, in all those moments, we're going to have emotions, right? We're going to have some uneasiness. But here's what I want you to understand and us all to remember today. We can have confidence that our Heavenly Father is sovereign over every moment of our life. He's going to equip us for every single thing He ordains. Nothing happens without His permission. I understand the devil is the prince of this world, but at any moment he could say, uh-uh, no more. I understand that things are look like they're going and spinning out of control, but I promise you He is in complete control. We need to remember when my identity belongs to Him, He is in control of our lives. He bought us with the blood of His own Son so that we could claim our identity in the righteousness of Christ. I love my mom and dad more than I can tell you. And I appreciate everything they've done to get me right here, but Daddy has assured me there is no major nest egg. He's not leaving me a lot. But that's okay. Because we have the greatest inheritance of all when my identity is in Jesus Christ. You see, we can and should trust that God will provide us with everything else we need while we're in this world. He's going to give us everything we need. Because our identity in Christ has given us direct access to our Heavenly Father, who we can call on with confidence and complete trust. Thirdly, this morning, if you're keeping count, when I belong to Jesus Christ and my identity is in Him, we won't compare ourselves to others, because we're going to find our completeness in Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul said in Romans 14, 5 through 8. You know, we know a lot about Romans, but sometimes we get towards the end and we kind of leave some of those verses out. We don't preach on them as much. But this is pretty good now. Listen to this. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Boy, that's rich. That's really good. You know what that saying, comparing ourselves to those around us, it can drain the life right out of us. How many people live their life, and I'm not talking about in here, but how many people you know right now are living their lives comparing it to this person, comparing it to that person, comparing it to this person and that person? There's a lot of people. Chances are there's some in this room, right? We're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know what that's doing? It's causing more stress. It's causing us to work more hours. It's causing us to go further in debt. It's causing us to worry. It's causing us to have stomach ulcers. It's causing us to die sooner, when all of it is for naught. We are created with a purpose. Please don't miss this. We are created with the purpose of glorifying God in the unique ways God has created us. You know, everybody in here is special. Every one of you. We talked this morning in class about different ministries that are going on. Some people find their fulfillment in a ministry where you can go and feed the poor. Some find it in being able to teach outdoor Bible. Some find it in helping with Vacation Bible School. Some help it with being in charge and helping with food distribution. Some help it by keeping the lights changed around. You know, there are all kinds of ways we minister. And we all have unique ways. That's 1 Corinthians 12. Not everybody can be eyeballs. Thanks be to God. We'd all look crazy if we were just big eyeballs walking around. Some can be hands, some can be feet, some can be mouths, some can be whatever. One person is filled with creativity while another glorifies God with a beautiful voice. One person glorifies God as a CEO while another glorifies Him by doing custodial work. One person glorifies God in the way they seek to raise their family while another glorifies Him in the way they use their singleness to serve Him. You see, we must seek to glorify Christ in the gifts and talents He has uniquely given to us. When we accept that the gifts He gave me are what He gave me, when we accept that, we will quit comparing ourselves to others, because we are complete in Christ. You know, it happens. You know, I have low self-esteem. I've told you that before. There are days when I struggle to love who I am. And there are days that I feel like I'm the worst minister. Depending on my depression, there are a lot of things going on. It collides. And some days I think, man, there are so many preachers that are better than me. There are so many youth ministers that were better than me. And I can remember all the mistakes and all the failures and everything else. But in the end, sometimes I got to slap myself around and say, hey, you belong to Jesus. And He loves me even when I'm unlovable. And that's what we need to remember about ourselves today. And then finally this morning, I'd love to tell you it takes away everything, but it doesn't. You see, you're still going to have struggles. Even though you belong to Jesus, you're still going to have struggles. But guess what? When we belong to Jesus, they come with solutions. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. See, He didn't tell us we weren't going to suffer. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You see, if our identity is in Christ, then we are guaranteed that one day, we will identify with Him in His sufferings. Now, Jesus had some major sufferings, right? Every one of us are going to face a Golgotha. We're going to face a Gethsemane. I don't know what your Gethsemane is, and I don't know what my Gethsemane is. Some of you may have already faced it, or there may be another one coming. But here's the thing. Just as Christ's sufferings were not hopeless and wasted, neither will ours be. Christ's sufferings defeated sin and death. And therefore, we identify with Him as He uses suffering to put sin to death in us and to make us reflect more of Him. Not only does suffering sanctify us, but it assures us that after suffering with Him for a while, we will one day be glorified with Him. When our identity is in Christ, suffering gradually changes. It changes our earthly perspective. And we quit looking at things earthly. Instead, we look at them eternally. So in closing, when our identity is rooted in Christ, shame can never overtake us. Paul was successful. You remember that? He was a tent maker. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisee. He had a list of things that he did that he was very successful. Had great private school education, you know, very smart, very trained. But then he saw the light. He gave all that up because Jesus told Ananias, I will show him the things he must suffer. And so even though his body was beaten and his body was bruised and he didn't make tents and he didn't have need all that successful anything that he did anymore, and he's in prison and he looks down and he sees the scars, he still said it this way, for I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. We need to realize who we are. Who are we? We are ambassadors for Christ. As 2 Corinthians 5:20 teaches. Listen to Ephesians 2 beginning in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Who are you? Are we hiding who we really are? Today it's time to reveal. Today it's time to renew. Today it's time to repent. And today it's time to be identified with the greatest name of all, Jesus Christ. If you need to submit or if you need to come home, do it right now. It's together. We stand and sing.